Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There has come a time of the refreshing from the very presence of the Lord unto all the body of Christ. Then it will send the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are waiting. Acts 3:15, I believe it is. A time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord. After all the toil of the day, the grace of our Lord Jesus to be able to gather together again and magnify the Lord. Lord, and know by the time we go back, Lord, you have refreshed us, Lord. We give your beloved sleep again. Lord, we're going to wake up in the morning with a great, oh Lord God, strength, vigor, energy, spiritual energy, and strength in the name of the Lord. So thank you for tonight, Lord. As we read the scriptures, Lord God, leave a blessing, Father. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We are sometimes caught in this prophetic thing because we are living in the most prophetical generation. Praise the Lord. So that's why it is like that, you know. Sometimes we talk about a lot of history. The reason we talk about history is because they are fulfillment of prophecy. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, we've talked about so much about the Antichrist in a very couple of weeks ago. And we talk about 15 signs of his soon rising. And we went back to history and pick a man that was very close, tied, you know, that Antichrist in the name of that madman called Adolf Hitler. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about this beast system and things like that. So we talk about the last Daniel foresaw, in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, right, there were to be four successive empires, Gentile kingdoms, right? The last of which was supposed to be Rome, right? So tonight I want to talk about that Roman Empire, what it is now, and the relation with it to the Antichrist, to the beast system at the end of time. Basically, I'm going to say that there must be a revived Roman Empire at the end of time, this age we are living in. That is going to be it, the revived Roman Empire and the beast. Now, the Roman Empire, according to Daniel's prophecy, was to be a dual prophecy, a dual empire, really, you know. Can you imagine? Daniel, about 1,000 years before, or so, I don't know, 700 years before it happened, he talked that this last Gentile empire will be a dual empire. That's how we like history, because they see and show all the prophecy fulfilling, you know. So the prophecy also indicated that the Roman Empire was to be a dual empire. It was shown in the two legs of iron, you know, in the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Again tonight, talking about the revived Roman, there has to be a revived Roman Empire, and then the beast, you know. So anyway, so in Daniel 2, what I'm talking about is in Daniel 2:40, because it's a long time we talked about Daniel last, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all this, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Okay. And 41. And whereas thou swear the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. See? There shall be in need of the strength of iron, for as much as thou seest the iron mixed with marie clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou seest iron mixed with marie clay, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So we see that this was fulfilled. These two iron, legs of iron was fulfilled in history, where the Roman Empire was divided into Western and Eastern empires, you know, with an emperor on each side. So we see that hundreds and hundreds of years before, you know, prophesied of this division. The iron and clay of the ten toes, which did not mix, portray the two divisions of the Gentile world at the time of the end. Even those toes, as one of that, you know, the iron represents fascism, as we know, and declare communism. See, the two, see, Daniel prophesied the two great totalitarian systems in the world. Daniel prophesied of them, you see, communism and fascism. You know, that back days of Daniel, that's why we go back to history to see how God has fulfilled prophecy in the past, and all the things we are expecting to do for our time, they will surely come to pass too. Praise God. That's one of the reasons why we go back to history and so on. As long as these two elements hold together, mean iron and clay, the beast kingdom, you know, is practically invisible in its march to world power. But when the two elements fall out with each other, the kingdom is weakened and become vulnerable. Well, we see back into history again, we see a proof in the history. Proof of the beast power being composed of two diverse elements was historically represented in World War II. Hitler, again, see, and Stalin. They were mortal enemies before that time. Over many years, they were mortal enemies. Representing fascism, like I said before, and communism. In an inconceivable plot to divide all of Europe between themselves, they joined together in the pact, you know. The event, of course, led to World War II. Of many reasons why there was World War II, see. The iron and clay joined together, but only for a season. The pact was broken after it had been in effect just six days, you know, according to historical records, you know. So it happened right there in history. The Ten Kingdoms, or the Ten Kingdom Empire, you know, of the Antichrist, which is represented by the ten toes of the image in that Nebuchadnezzar dream, must therefore in some way be part of the Roman Empire. It must relate to Rome. Because there are only four kingdoms in the Gentile kingdom, right? That Daniel saw, right? So those ten toes, I mean the leg of iron is Roman, is Rome, right? So those ten toes of iron and clay must have to relate to Rome. Otherwise, it will be the fifth kingdom, right? But we know, according to Daniel's prophecy, the fifth kingdom is the stone kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what it says. There are four kingdoms of the Gentile world. At the end of it, that is in Daniel 2:34. Let's read that, you know. So that the fifth one will be the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Now, Daniel 2:34. Thou swearest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet. That were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and fill the whole earth. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Praise the Lord. What you are saying, those ten toes then of iron and clay had to be part of the Roman Empire or relate to it, you know, because otherwise be a fifth kingdom. And the fifth one is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we just said that now, you know. So, and if the ten toes are related to Rome, there must be of necessity a revival of the Roman Empire at the end of the time. Praise God. It has to be, you know. So, praise God. So, now, in order to understand how the Roman Empire is to be revived, we must again go back to history of Rome and see how it has been. There is a peculiarity to that Roman Empire that is historians pick it up, you know. So that leave us no doubt at all that there will be a revived Roman Empire in the days we are living in. Actually, in history, the Rome has been in existence in one form or another all down through the age. And they have found out that when face of the Roman power fell, it reappeared in another form. History says so. And moreover, history reveals that at that a given form of Roman Empire, after it falls, seems to have a peculiar capacity to revive again at a later date. So I haven't said that now. So just to lay a foundation, let's quickly walk through history to see these various forms of the Roman Empire, because it had to be at the end of time again, like the revival of it, you know. So when you know what happened in past in history, then we know later or sooner that there be a revival one. Now, the first Roman Empire was called the Imperial Roman Empire. That was formed in 27 BC, you know, and it's called the Imperial Roman Empire back in 27 BC. Where there have been several political, political overturnings in Rome, in the Roman Empire at that time, and so on, that, you know, in previous history. It's all this terrible thing, you know, happening in Rome and so on. It ended up in a totalitarian dictatorship under Julius Caesar. That's how that the political upheaval, fighting themselves and so on, that, you know, and it all ended up, you know, under the Julius Caesar, which we know is was a dictator and so on. Of course, he was assassinated, right? And after he was assassinated, there was a fierce power struggle again for a number of years, concluding with the establishment of an empire under Augustus Caesar. These are even in the Bible too, you know, but I don't have time to go through all those things, all the political struggle that happened at that time and so on. So this imperial form of the empire continued from 27 BC to 476 AD. So you can see how the Roman Empire had been changing, you know. Now, so as I first mentioned, Rome was represented in the image of Nebuchadnezzar by the two legs of iron, indicating that the empire would be divided. And truly enough, this division took place in the 4th century AD, almost 1,000 years after the prophecy was given by Daniel. Specifically, when I say 4th century, specifically it was in 324 AD, when the empire became too big to be managed efficiently, you know, and governed, that the eastern division of the empire was formed under the reign of Constantine, with its capital in Constantinople. Can you see now, 1,000 years before that Daniel spoke this thing, it came to pass, and so I saw the two legs of iron, and it came to pass. Praise God. That's why we talk about history, really. Praise God. Yeah. If it came to pass, the rapture is coming to pass too. Amen. Yeah. That is the whole purpose of going to history. Not because we are studying history, because it reveals biblical prophecy fulfillment. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? Now, however, history emphasized that the Roman Empire was and always continued to be one. Even when they seem to be divided, they are still one. You see? According to history and some of that, you know. So, that's a saying. There were two emperors, you know, but one empire. See? Two persons, but one power. Even when they have the Eastern and the Western, there's still one empire. See? According to history and so on. Now, that 476 AD, what happened? Western imperial power passed into history in 476 AD. This is just regular history and so on, known by all historians. Being overrun by the barbarians. After it began, what happened to them? They get luxurious. They were looking in luxury, you know, and loose living and all that, you know. And the barbarians actually at that time, who are they? They are not the Arabs. Barbarians are actually in Europe. There are about five major of them. Germany was one of them at that time. And they hated Rome. Wow. All of them hated Rome. So so now they become lax. They're not washing anymore, right? Then there's one of them called Flavius Odoacer. That was his name, or the Babylonian, one of them. So and they came there, 476 AD, and overrun the kingdom. See, they were not washing and some of that, you know. And that terminated the imperial, Roman Empire at that time, you know, in 476 AD. So now, when that happened, what happened? The Eastern or Greek Roman Empire did not come to an end in 476 AD as did the West. It didn't, you know. So the Roman Empire now lived on its Eastern division, the Greek Roman Empire. See, it's always there, one way or the other, one form or the other, you know. So that happened in 476 AD. Now, what do we have next? The rise of the papacy. we are going through history to see the different phases of the Roman Empire. And when it goes into one form, it will attack another form. So during the decaying period of the Western Imperial Empire I just spoke about now, a new power was simultaneously arising within the borders of the Roman Empire. What is that? The papacy. You know, the papacy, an ecclesiastical power, began to supersede that of the Caesars. You know, they were gone by 476 AD, right? They were all gone, right? So this papacy began to rise as from that, you know. The scepter, which fell from the arms of the emperors, was grasped by the Roman bishop. I'm talking about the popes now and his successors, you know, issue of the Roman Empire. Rome, in the laws of our old empire, found a new and more lasting dominion under this new papacy thing, and all that, you know. The empire was now the church. Can you imagine? The empire was now the church. It was now, indeed, indestructible, really. If it perish as an empire, it lives as a church. You know, Roman Empire. That's what happened in history. So we can begin to see how easily there be a revived Roman Empire in this one of these days, you know. What the barbarians did there was effectively abolish one of the two joint rulers. That's all. They terminated the ruler of the Western Imperial Roman Empire and leave the other, the leader of the Eastern Roman Empire intact, right? So that's what they did. In fact, that is saying that Constantinople was the second Rome, the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. Okay, is the second Rome. That is saying, even in history and so on, that, you know. So anyway, the popes were steadily faithful at that time to the emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire. They were faithful to him, and so on, that, you know. So they were still intact. No, they were, you know, as well that, you know, they were intact. Now, what the next phase of the Roman Empire? Now it's called the Holy Roman Empire. That is the next phase, the Holy Royal Roman Empire. So in 800 AD, events developed over the centuries to restore that Western Empire that crushed in 476 AD. So some events occurred around 800 AD to restore it back. Thus, the Pope in the year 800 AD crowned Charlemagne Emperor of the revived Western Roman Empire. They did. Praise God. Anyway, praise God. Anyway. So, records of history therefore show us that the center of Roman power returned in 800 AD to the West. You know? But the thing is this, the capital was not in Rome. Even though the Pope crowned him, he was crowned in Rome, but the capital wasn't in Rome. It was in a place called Aix-la-Chapelle, which is in Germany, in the state of Prussia. Prussia in Germany. That's where the capital was at that time, you know. So it happened in history. Charlemagne Empire did not even last long. Again, within a century, it has fallen into various fragments. And it was dissolved by the year 888 AD. It was gone. So what happened there? So the year 888 AD was the part of modern Europe, really, you know. What happened? So you have Europe, you have France, Germany, and Italy. Those cities stood distinct in that year. They were formed in that year. So, and there was no emperor at that time, you know, at that moment. So the papacy had to decide which of the three units. Is it France? Is it Germany? Or is it, either France, Germany, or Italy? That we have the Pope, or who will reign? You know, where will the emperor come from? So anyway, in 962 AD, the name of that Pope was John Paul XII. He invited what a man called Otto I, the calling of German, to renew the Roman Empire. So the center of the revived Roman Empire then shifted to Germany. So Germany was part of the Roman Empire. It was part of the Roman Empire, you know, back in history. Now, what happened next? The German Roman Empire was terminated by the French Revolution and the Napoleon Wars. You know, it happened back in history. So Napoleon invaded Italy and imprisoned the Pope. That's right. Though the papacy temporarily lost power at that time. So in 1814 AD, papacy regained its independence, but they did not restore that Roman Empire that that they used to know before, after the 476 crush and some of that, you know. So, you know, in 1870 AD, the Pope went into self-exile, actually, you know. They called the Kipi deny, they won't restore that imperial kind of thing, they won't restore it that they used to have, and so on. So he went to exile, you know, in the Vatican, back there in 1870 AD. Now, what happened later? What is the what happened to the Eastern Roman Empire now? What happened to it? So the Turkish people, they terminated the Empire of the East when its power swept through the capital of Constantinople, and that was in 1453 AD. So I read something here that I think the British the encyclopedia says, yet as when Rome fell, like we say in history, the Catholic Church survived and ultimately found for herself a new empire of the West. So when Constantinople fell, the Orthodox Church continued in its life, you know, and found for itself a new empire of the East. Guess what? The empire was Russia. It was Russia. So, under Ivan the Great, in 1462 to 1505, Moscow became the metropolis of Orthodoxy. This same Moscow. I had to hear Brother Brian say in those days that that the people, the corrupt Christianity, turned Russia to what it was. You know, I didn't understand what he was saying at that time, but now I understand the history better. Praise the Lord. You know, so anyway, he has a grandson. This Ivan man has a grandson called Ivan the Terrible. You know, his grandson. He assumed the title of the what they call the Tsar, T-S-A-R, in 1547, and henceforth, the Russian emperor is, in theory, and very largely, in fact, the successor of the old Eastern Roman emperor. Russia was, you know, and the head of the Orthodox Church, even Russia, you know, at that time. So, you know, so now, to go into the history, back to early of our time, 1917, what happened? The regime of the Tsars now, like other forms of the Roman Empire, fell. You see, how you see as they go, they fall, they arrive, they fall, and all that, you know. It was overthrown by what they call the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. And the Greek Church, as an institution of the nation, was in effect practically destroyed by this revolution and all that, you know. And thus, it is the record of history concerning the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. So we go through these facts in order to truly understand the picture which prophecy reveals concerning the fourth Gentile kingdom of Daniel's vision, which is the Roman Empire. What's the conclusion of the matter? There were no less than four distinct phases in the development of the fourth Gentile kingdom of Daniel's vision. The empire of the Caesars, like I mentioned from Daniel, that fell in 476 AD, the Eastern or Greek Roman Empire, the papacy, the German Holy Roman Empire. So, as we have noted, all of these phases of Roman power had declined by the time of Napoleon's day. Consequently, seeing that the beast power will be in final manifestation at the end of the age, there is anticipation of the revival of the Roman Empire, because it has to be so. Like I said before, there are 24 Gentile kingdoms. So those toes and those 10 toes and so on to be part of the Roman Empire, like we are sure right now, you know. So the question is, will be, the question will be, how will it be formed, you know. So the amazing thing is that there have been several revivals of one form or the other of the Roman Empire since then. I will mention just one of them, you know, as part of history also, you know. There was a brief revival of Rome under Mussolini, you know, between 1936 and 1943. These are just precursors, really, you know, for the reason to come. You can see even different times, you come up and so on. Mussolini entered into negotiation with the papacy with the intent of restoring the Pope to the Pope his temporal sovereignty back in 1929. This is all in history. And what happened? A square mile of territory around Vatican was declared independent of Italy. It was to have its own government, envoys, as we all know today, See, it happened. And it's even now part of the United Nations. Can you imagine? That's right. So you see, so does Mussolini now, I know his act resulted in a restoration of a former phase of the Roman Empire by that singular act, you know? So in fact, he reigned for 7 years. Very significant. So his 7-year empire can be said to be a type of the 7th reign of the Antichrist, actually. See? So for when the time came or comes, the little horn of Daniel 7, which is a man of great force and power, shall arise in Western Europe. It has to be, you know, and form a confederation of 10 kingdoms. This is the iron that appears in Nebuchadnezzar's image, and it will be for a while the counterpart of the clay of communism. See? And indeed, you have been hearing about NATO all these years. And NATO was formed for what? As a precursor to guide against Soviet Russia from overrunning Europe. That is the purpose of NATO, really, you know, to curb the Russian and some of that, you know, from overrunning Europe. So, as history shows us, Russia's place in the Roman Empire is that she was the successor of the old Eastern Roman Empire. That is what many Christians don't really know, that even Russia was part of the Roman Empire. You see, it was. So, and fulfilling Daniel's prophecy and so on, that made the iron and the toast of iron and clay. So, communism and fascism, you know. So, it's communism. Daniel saw all those things and prophesied of them. And it happened in our own time. So, well, very small, not too long tonight. So, why the communism or communist Russia, when it came to power, what did they do? It destroyed the church practically. You see, it's always like that. Communism, they hate Christianity, they will hate the Jews. So, in the nature of the beast system, their nature is to seek to destroy Christian church. Whether they are, even if it's a false Christian church, they will see it just because it's as in it Christ, whether they do it rightly or not, you know, just that name that, you know, they hated it, as all that, you know. So, and what they did to the church, the Eastern Roman Empire Church, and all that, you know. The beast in the West, we do the same thing when it comes. Do you know what? What happened to Rome in 476 AD will happen again under the beast power. I'm going to finish with this scripture here, that the Vatican will burn at the end of the age by the beast power. Revelation 17:15, the last scripture here tonight. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, these where the world seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the war. Like in 476 AD, right? They shall hate the war, you know, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, you know, coming in the future. So there's no way out of it. There will be a divine Roman Empire at the end of time. And we can see the end of the Vatican, the war, you know, as one of that, you know. Bible predicted it and it will happen one of these days. But by the grace of God, we'll be in glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us understanding of the times. Thank you for having us to learn from the time, I mean from Israel, not to have recognized the day of our visitation. We are very grateful. It's not by might nor by power. By the grace of God, we are whom we are in Christ. That's why we worship and we adore you, Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. This will keep us worshiping and praying, because our flight can be anytime from now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by your grace we continue to be occupied until you come in every form of shape that we can witness and preach this gospel, Lord. So help us, Lord God, to keep awake as you have admonished us. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your children who haven't come out of that system yet, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. Father, that, O Lord God, you have promised us, Lord, that in the parable of the 100 sheep, Lord, you leave the 99 and went after that one. And we know we are in that era of time now. Some of the elders of the church have said in the old past, they say, when the last one comes in, the Lord will appear. We believe it's so, Lord. And we say, so come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. So unless there is an intervening message for any of the brethren, the next time we now go to the first 3 years of the reign of the Antichrist. We've talked about 15 signs of his soon rising, right? We talked about one in history in the field that really typified him very closely, you know. And tonight we talk about there had to be of necessity a revived Roman Empire. So the next step is to now talk about the first 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist by the grace of God, or made that an intervening, which we don't put any rigidity here. Praise God. The brother come with a message, we just let it go, amen. Wherever we are, when the Lord comes, he'll be fine, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless your heart, brethren. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So tonight, Brother Benjamin will help us with the prayer session.